Thank you very much for the introductions. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm Ahmad Yandra Safri. I'm from University of Indonesia. I'm a physician. So I'm a neurologist. And most of our talk is about clinical findings that should have many correlation with the, what Jessica have been done. That's all. We are in the same project. Yeah. So Jessica has been tell you how important is hypersensory neuropathy. Now in the clinics, how we screen hypersensory neuropathy is by assessing by the brief peripheral nerves neuropathy screening tools, which is if someone have more than one lower limb neuropathy symptom like a pain, itching, burning, pins or needle and numbness, plus the objective signs like a loss of anchor reflex or loss of vibration test less than 10 seconds, they are diagnosed as a sensory neuropathy. And we has done this sensory HFS and study twice. One is in 2008 and others in others in 2016. So we found different results. So in the 2008, so most all the people using Stafudin, all the patients using Stafudin, we found that the incidence of HVSN is increased at 34%. And the risk factor for it is the older age, low CD4 counts, and other toxic drugs. And in 2016, we do another study in HVSN. We find that there is decreasing of incidence of the HVSN. All the patient in here is not with not using Stafudin, and the only risk matter is the higher viral loads. So, well, and other findings that we found that there is pain in the some of the patient that we are included in the study, and we have to differentiate: is it a pain because of the damage of the nerve fiber itself, it's called neuropathic pain, or it's pain because of the damage of the other tissue. And we're using some questionnaire to differentiate it, and it has been accepted worldwide to differ between neuropathic pain and nociceptive pain. And another thing that we find in the previous study, the 2016 study, that we find the ERT durations of the patient with pain is shorter than patient without with pain but no HFSN, is shorter than patient with pain with HFSN or patient without no pain and with HFSN. So we, in this table, we say that maybe pain is preceding HFSN itself. And why this happened, we thought this is because of the mechanism of the nerve damage itself. So we know that nerve have two kinds of fibers, large fiber and small fibers. The large fibers, if they have the damaging of the large fiber, the patient will develop gait disturbance, weakness, or numbness. And how to detect it? The objective way is to do nerve conduction study. And for the small fiber, if the patient have the small fiber, damage, they will have neuropathic pain and autonomic neuropathy. And the gold standard for it is the intraepidermal nerve density, but it's very expensive and invasive test. So we will talk about another test that we can have a surrogate marker as the intraepidermal nerve density, which is skin wrinkle test. So the research question of my study is, are there any demographic difference between small fiber and large fiber in a HFSN? Are there any clinical signs different between small fiber and large fiber in a HFSN? And which is come first, small fiber, large fiber, or HFSN diagnosed by BPNST or the pain? So we're doing a cross-sectional study in 197 patients, outpatient from 215 to 217. All the patients have age of more than eight years old, HFA patients. We record the clinical sign, laboratory data, and medication. All the patients have no Stafudin, and all the patients have no other disease that can make neuropathy, such as diabetes, leprosy, and GBS. And we perform nerve conduction study, and we say that if the patient have sensory nerve action potential lower than amplitude lower than 80% of the limit normal or the dual nerve, we call it a large fiber neuropathy. And for small fiber neuropathy, we know that doing epidermal nerve fiber density for 197 subject is not, it cannot be done. So we searched for another kind of test, and we found out this test is an AMLAS stimulation skin wrinkling test, have been developed by Wilder Smith from National University of Singapore. It's good, have good sensitivity enough to compare to the gold standard. So this test is, the mechanism of the test is basically because at the tips of your fingers, we have the small fiber, and it contributes to autonomic regulation of the skin. So if you immerse your tip of the fingers in the waters, you have wrinkle. So if this small fiber damage, you have less wrinkle. So normal people have more wrinkle than people with small fiber neuropathy. And the result of the study, for the first question is, it is any different between demographic data from the large fiber and small fiber? We found that neither small fiber neuropathy or large fiber neuropathy but there is no difference between the demographic of large fiber and small fiber neuropathy. But in clinical findings, we find very interesting result that if we diagnose sensory neuropathy by skin wrinkle test, we found many people have small fiber neuropathy, but it cannot be detected by a standard test, BPNST, or it cannot be detected by large fiber or by nerve conduction study. And we found out that most of the people, 54% of patients with small fiber neuropathy have pain, but none of the large fiber neuropathy have pain. So pain is mostly aligned with the small fiber neuropathy. And other clinical finding, loss of vibration, agilis reflex, loss of agilis reflex, numbness, cannot distinguish between small fiber and large fiber neuropathy. And we found that if we using BPNST to detect small fiber neuropathy, it has very low sensitivity, about 18%. So most of the people with small fiber neuropathy cannot be detected by only BPNST, but we have to do another test to check for the small fiber neuropathy. And when the small fiber neuropathy occurs, with our study, previous studies, they have a trend that people with the small fiber neuropathy in HIV patients have longer duration of ERT than people with small fiber and large fiber neuropathy and large fiber only, or people with no neuropathy at all. And another analysis showed the same result, that the small fiber neuropathy associated weakly with the longer time of ERT. And so at the beginning of my talk, another study say that pain is preceding the AHV sensory neuropathy. So we do another further analysis. Then we found that duration of ERT is marginally shorter in patients with pain without small fiber neuropathy rather than small fiber neuropathy. So from this clinical study, we can summarize that many patients have small fiber neuropathy evident by skin wrinkle tests, but do not have neuropathy diagnosed by BPNST or nerve conduction study. And 44% of patients with pain have small fiber neuropathy, and none of the patients with large fiber neuropathy have pain. Patients who develop small fiber neuropathy have been on ERT for slightly longer than those with low fiber neuropathy, large fiber neuropathy, and all these clinical finding is maybe due because the different pathophysiology between the small fiber neuropathy and large fiber neuropathy in HIV-SN, and we'll be collaborate with Tricia and with Jessica to explore it by genetic study. Thank you very much. I would like to acknowledge my colleagues from University of Indonesia, Fitri Octaviana, Riwanti, and Ibnu. And I also want to thanks to our colleagues in Curtin University, Jessica, and my mentor and supervisor, Associate Professor Patricia Price. Thank you.